You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another Castilla Corner. And we're back after 2 weeks of just no activities at all. I'm joined as always by Mr. Sam Sharp. And we're covering a lot of topics very quickly today. Sam, how are you?
We're in a windy England at the moment. Oh. What's going on with the weather? It's been nice. It's been sunny. And then, yeah, this happens.
Oh, it's so windy today. So I'm not getting out of the house today.
No, don't. I mean, I've got a plan this, but my Wi-Fi is down. I'm on my phone for the first time and only time ever. So hopefully that doesn't affect the quality. But yeah, we've got a lot of talking points to cover.
Yeah, we do. We do. We've got a few. So let's just start with the more important ones, more direct ones, I guess. Castilla lost again.
Yeah, and I mean, the last podcast we did, I was saying we need to sign more players next summer, but we need to start and incorporate the only signings that Castilla have made from external teams this season, and that is Jeremy De Leon, who looks very, very talented, and Lauren Zuniga, who, although he's played second division, third division, loads and loads of games in both of those, has been put into Real Madrid City, who are a semi-professional team in a very poor standard in the fifth tier. So yeah, we were calling for that last time. And since then, Lauren Zuniga has scored 3 goals in 3 for the C team. And he got a back heel assist. And he's looked really, really good, obviously, because he's a big fish in a small pond there. And Jeremy De Leon hasn't even featured in 2 of the games and played 23 minutes in the other game. So he's been on the bench every single game since then. And Castilla have lost twice. And they really got through by the skin of their teeth in the other game in a 1-0 win against bottom of the table. So, yeah, really, really disappointing 3 games. I don't know if you caught any of them.
I did a few bits of Cordoba. I didn't catch the Recreativa one.
Well, let's talk about the win first, because even if you didn't catch it, did you see the goal?
I did see it, but I don't remember.
It's the worst goal of all time. I've never seen a worse goal than this. They are one of the easiest teams Castilla can play, and they need to gain points to get away from that relegation zone. They did get the win, so let's be fair to them straight away. But the goal, it was a Nico Paz free kick. He's just kind of hammered it into a danger zone, into the chaos zone, as you do. Defender sticks a leg out, and it kind of loops into the goal for an own goal. But as the defender does that, I think it was a fan. It can't have been a ball boy, but somebody chucks another ball onto the pitch. It hits the same defender, and they both just kind of trickle over the line after about 5 deflections from Nico Paz's free kick. It honestly is awful.
Let's just say the fact that we needed the goal to win the game says a lot.
They are bottom, okay?
Yeah.
I wanted the 2 new signings to start then. Zuniga, I don't think will feature this season. Let's be honest here. Let's be realistic. I want him to. I don't think he will, even though he's going to add something different and something exciting into the team. Jeremy De Leon isn't playing. And this is, I think, the most annoying thing is he's not here just to post pictures on Instagram and get 10,000 likes and get all the hype and everyone thinks he's great. That isn't why he's here. Okay, he actually does have to feature at some point. If you're going to sign him and he's going to feature for, by the way, he came from Castellón, who were top of the table, and he was featuring pretty regularly for them. He wasn't necessarily a sure starter, but he was featuring regularly. If he can feature regularly for the team at the top, he can feature for Castilla, who are about, what, 15th, 16th now.
Yeah, and the thing that doesn't make sense to me at all is, like, it's not even like, you know, they're being settled into or whatever. It's been seven games and Castilla only scored two goals.
Right. And
they've only scored two goals in seven games and he hasn't started.
Since he came.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the point? What is the point in this? He's trained with the first team, supposedly, and we said this last time, it's only a media story, but when Castilla played the first team, I think it was 2 weeks ago in a friendly when all the other international players were gone, supposedly he was the standout player for Castilla. No, just start him. And this is where, you know, I am Raul's biggest fan. As a coach, I really think he is a good coach. And his Castilla record, again, put this out, is not controversial as much as people think it is brilliant. It's a great Castilla record. This season, it's going to tarnish his Castilla record. It's going to be a big stain on it. And that's because at the moment, he's looking like a coach who's just scared to evolve. And not just evolve his squad and his playing style, but also evolve himself as a coach and leave and find a better team, which at one point he was easily good enough to do when that Villarreal link came in. I think you mentioned Sevilla would be a good, it would have been a great fit. At this moment in time, if he doesn't finish mid-table, about 10th for Castilla, this season is a failure. And I can't see him managing anyone higher than maybe Espanyol in the second division, which I think is a failure for Raul.
Yeah, because, bro, I this is what I've been saying, right? And this is what everyone on Castilla Corner has been saying. Raul is a really good coach. He's a really talented coach. Mm. He's just outgrown his stay at Castilla. He's made, like, so many good players out of players that weren't really consistent. And then even after they leave, he just still continues to evolve as a coach and does a lot. But then he just stays there and, like, just sees Castilla dropping in the standings. Mm. And he still, there are rumors right now that he's going to stay for another season, which is,
and this is where the danger is. This is real, real danger for everyone at Real Madrid. And again, let's make it very clear, it's only rumors. I think the news outlet that actually broke the rumor, they're not very reliable, to say the least. So don't think too much of it. But it is rumors that need to be addressed, because if he was to stay this summer, he should have left last summer. So this is the danger with a lot of players, not just coaches, a lot of coaches and a lot of players, is that they stay not just too long, but way too long, to the point where if they spread their wings and they flew at the right time, they would be some of the best players around. They would be in the top divisions. They would be doing whatever, managing whoever. But because they stay that little bit more, they drop. Their level of their ceiling, I suppose you would call it, drops a little bit. But if they stay past that, the heartbeat is just going to go out. They're just going to die. All the hype around them, everything, it's just going to turn on its head. And I've seen it before many, many times with players and coaches. And if Raul stayed this summer, again, he could turn it around. He could get the player. He could do whatever. Real Madrid could start investing in Castilla again. You never know. But I don't want it to happen because it's already been too long. And if he was to have another bad season, all of a sudden that good coach kind of mantra around Raul and that track record would just be tarnished. He would look all of a sudden like an average to a bad coach just from one extra season of unnecessary football with Castilla.
Yeah, and okay, let's just look up a hypothetical here. Even if Real Madrid invest in Castilla next season and they do really well, right? They finish like in playoff places, they win the first round, they lose the second round, and they don't get promotion. Who is to say that he doesn't save for another season? Because it's happened before.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He has been there and he's done that. So you're right. Even if he did achieve the best, he's achieved the best at Castilla. He's outgrown it. And the other big danger is that he stands in the way of Álvaro Arbeloa, who looks a really, really talented coach and hasn't had the chance at senior football. So it would just literally be crushing two promising birds with one stone. And it just can't happen. He has to leave in the summer. And I know it's only rumours and whatnot, but I just really hope there's no truth to those rumours, because there's nothing else he can do. He's been great. And he has the opportunity in the last 6-7 games or so to finish mid-table, that's a success. And then every season he's had with Castillo will be a success. He can go on and barely lose his reputation from this dodgy season. But he's got to go, man. He has to go.
He has to. The only thing that doesn't make sense to me is that he's a good coach and he's made good decisions for the team in the past.
Mm.
But if you only have two signings and they're both in the attack and you've scored 2 goals in 7 games, would you not want to use them to make your record better?
I don't know what the club are thinking with Lorenzo Íñiga, because he played 50 games for Malaga, who, one, are a big club in Spain, two, play at a higher level than Castilla, playing the second division and third division. Now, all right, he's never scored a senior goal, and that a senior professional goal, because he's now scoring for the C team. That's not a great scoring record, but at youth level, he had a great scoring record. For the Real Madrid C team, he has a great scoring record. So you just need to get him into those works and into those motions. And then in the third division, he will start scoring goals. There's no doubt about it. He was a Spanish youth international, prominently. To play him in the C team in semi-professional football is, I don't even know what he accepted. I know that you're wearing the Real Madrid badge, but it's insulting towards him, to be honest. And with Jeremy De Leon, again, I wouldn't be too happy in his position either, because he's got all the hype in the world. You search his name on Twitter, people love him, man. He's getting all the likes. He's getting the first team training sessions, but he isn't playing any minutes. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, he was doing well with Castillo. So if you wanted him to replace Peter Federico, which I assume he was going to do that because that's what he was running in, why would you not play him when Peter Federico was such a prominent figure in the team?
It's not working.
It doesn't make sense to me. And Raul, like, I think, it leads us straight into the next topic is, like, we've talked about this before. Raul and Xabi Alonso are two similar, like, brains, but with different outcomes. One now, if you stay too long, and one if you leave early.
Yeah, right. Go for success. Right choices. I think that's a really good narrative, because, again, we've been speaking about Raul and Xabi Alonso. They, in fact, were in the same conversation at the start of this season and beyond, because they were so similar. They were both doing really well with their respective B teams. I think it was a little bit further with Xabi Alonso, but he was at Sociedad B and got promotion with them. So not only did he make the playoffs like Raul, he won the playoffs, which is so rare for a B team. He then went into the second division with them and they won plenty of games. They're in the same conversation at that point, all right? Both very exciting coaches, really exciting time for Real Madrid, who've got these two prospects on their hand, big name former players as well. But one left, you're right. One chose to leave Real Madrid at the right time. He chose to leave Real Sociedad at the right time. He will choose to leave Leverkusen at the right time. But what he's doing this year is nothing short of historical. To beat a one-team league, a Bayern in Bayern, in their own league, is crazy. And he's made the cup final. Bayern aren't in a cup final. It's another, I think it's a mid-table team he's playing. So he will win the
double. It's actually a second division team.
That's great. So you expect him to win at least a double in a country where one team is completely dominant. And he could even then go on and win the Europa League. It's ridiculous. There's nothing Raul can do except the same thing, which is almost impossible, by the way.
Yeah, and
enter the conversation with Xabi.
Yeah, for sure. And let's just put into perspective, right? We've seen Leverkusen come up short before. They've if Xabi Alonso wins the rest of the games for Leverkusen, they will have more titles since this season than they've ever had in their history combined. That's incredible.
And you think about the, I was looking at like membership records and ticket sales and shirt sales and media attention. That is all based off one man and one coaching philosophy. And that club has, I think they were second bottom when he came in.
Yep.
That club has completely turned everything around commercially, in terms of team performance. Everything has changed. And do you know one thing I like the most about it? It's not the trophies. It's the fact that they were linked with Sergio Arribas, because that means he really is a genius. If they brought him in, he's a perfect signing for them. So it's not just that he's performing, that he's looking forward. He's looking to the future. He's looking at players to incorporate at a low price that will have maximum output. He's a genius. He is a genius. They're unbeaten at this point, and he has to be the next Real Madrid manager, full stop. Real Madrid have to do everything they can to get him. And to be at the start of the season saying it could be Xabi, it could be Raul, for Raul, this has been, it couldn't have been more disappointing. And he simply has to leave and try and do as best as he can at a bigger club, at a top level club. And that's the only chance he's got to be, wow, who should be considered Real Madrid manager. That's the only chance he has, because he should do that to be considered, I should say, because you never know, Real Madrid, they might go, we're not going to go for Xabi Alonso, we're going to go for Raul. You never know, with just some of the decisions they've made in the past. So, yeah, Xabi Alonso, the outright winner, deserved winner of the Raul race and the Bundesliga title. And I hope he goes on to win the other two trophies and goes on to manage Real Madrid, because he's clearly already, he's only been managing for a few years, one of the best managers in the world, best coaches in the world, for sure.
Would you say he's the best coach in the world this season?
No. Pep Guardiola has to be up there.
Hmm.
I do like Mikel Arteta. And again, a lot of comparisons have now been made about young Spanish coaches coming in and actually making change. Like, Mikel Arteta's won trophies, but Xabi Alonso could equal that and equal the output in 1 year, when Arteta, I think, has been around for half a decade now. Yeah. So I think he actually probably will be top three. I think best
top three.
You know, in the first actual senior season, or second now, I should say, that's massive that he's in the top three already with that team, or that club, I should say. But I wouldn't say best just yet. But that's crazy, yeah, in that conversation, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's the best yet. I think there's a lot more to come from Xabi Alonso. Mm. And one thing about Xabi Alonso as well, no one talks about this. They lost one of their best players last season to Aston Villa, Diaby.
Mm.
And they replaced him with so many smart signings. They bought in a striker, which they needed, Boniface, who was really cheap.
He was playing in Norway not long ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he was scoring goals, but you have to be intelligent. You have to have the right scouting network to even really know that. When you're in your day-to-day business at a big club like Leverkusen, to know about someone who scored in Norway, and I think he moved to like Belgium or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy scouting. And, you know, he would have known Sergio Arribas from his time in the Real Madrid Academy, no doubt, and his time in Spain.
Yeah, definitely.
I just find it so impressive. Everything about him is so impressive. And I hope that he has a future at Real Madrid as manager, because, God, the way he plays, man, with the players that Real Madrid have and will have.
I can't wait. Honestly, like, I don't think, I've said this in the past, and you know this, I've never been more excited about a manager, and this is why. Like, this is something that Dortmund couldn't do last season when they were winning, like, when they were top of the league for so long.
Yeah.
And he's just come in and just never gave up on the first spot. Like, it's insane. He stayed on the first, and he's never lost a game. He's not lost a game this season. Oh. It's been 42 games, which is longer than Real Madrid's longest unbeaten streak, which is also insane, considering it's Bayer Leverkusen and not Real Madrid.
Yes.
Quality work. So good. I don't have words. It's really good.
Yeah. I mean, to put a downer on everything, the next topic is the league table, because they're where they are now.
They are.
And the thing is, 13? They're three. I think they're behind that because they're 3 points above the relegation zone. So they're one win away, or one loss away, I should say. If they drop another point, they could drop it into the red zone, which is really, really dangerous, because you don't want Castilla to be a fourth division team. That would actually be a disaster.
That would be a disaster. How many spots are there in, like, the...
So the big problem I have here is my internet's down. But they are, I'm pretty sure there's something like two or three spots. There's four clubs that go down, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Which is a lot, by the way, because it's not like the group system. I think there is a couple of groups, but there used to be like four plus massive groups. So not many went down from each. Now that's not the case. More go down now. So Castilla are actually really close to the red zone. I think one of the questions will cover this, to be fair.
Yeah.
But do you think you're right, they are 13th, 16th place, so there's five spots that go down.
But there's only three
places above. There's 3 points in it. Do you think, it was six games to go, it's a long time, and they can't really scrape much of a result together at the moment?
Yeah. What's the question, like, do you think it's a possibility that
it could happen? Yeah.
It depends on the games that are left, really. They've yet to play Alcoyano.
So Sacramento. A lot of the teams, there's a couple that are below them and around them, but a couple of them are also above them. It's not necessarily an easy path in the last six games. And what I would say is, it's possible. It's certainly possible, but I don't think it will happen. Simply because this, let's praise this squad for once. I think it's unbelievably below average. As if any, yeah, you get anywhere near the Real Madrid first team. But there is quality in this squad. There's too much quality for them to get relegated from the third tier. Nico Paz looks on set to get double figures, which is a massive achievement for a midfielder. Alvaro Rodriguez is doing his best scoring season. Again, the two new external signings may have a point to prove at some point in the last six games. You never know. There's too much quality. So I don't think it will happen, but
it can.
Certainly a possibility.
Because there's one thing that you have to keep in mind. Because they've lost four of their last five games, and they're playing six teams in the last six games, obviously. And the four of the six teams are above them in the table.
Yeah. And none of them are easy games. And all five performances, even the win, they were rubbish, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It was awful. A one-nil win, but I implore you to watch a goal. If anyone can,
I did.
Do not even embed the goal into the thing, because it is the worst goal you will ever see. Like, you just won't believe how calamitous and bad it is. And I just, oh God. In fact, some fans were calling for it to be disallowed again. Some fans were calling it to be counted too. But it was just a dirty, really rubbish goal. It was completely legal because the ball was going into the goal. Whatever you say, it took a couple of deflections and went in the net. It doesn't matter if another ball has been thrown on and goes in. It's a perfectly good goal, but it's a perfectly rubbish goal as well. It was just, I mean, it sums up the season so far, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think the last six games, only one of them you could say is like, okay, if this is not a win, none of them should, because they're facing Granada's second team with 15 points at the moment, which is like 23 points behind Castilla.
Yeah, right.
But the remaining teams, San Fernando are 3 points behind, so they're fighting for the same spots as Castilla. Intercity are 4 points above Castilla. Alcoyano is 7 points above Castilla, and then
I'm watching that game live, hopefully.
Oh, nice, that's good.
Yeah,
you can report from there then.
That'd be good. So we'll see, but there's some must-win games, because it will get tricky, that's for sure. And they're not going to win. It's impossible they'll win all six games, so points will be dropped. So they need to get them from somewhere, you know.
This is really because I used to think it's like the last four spots. I didn't know it was the last five.
It's gone up. Yeah, it's pretty ruthless. And it was ruthless before, because there were so many teams across so many groups. And you could win your league, so you could play a whole season, come first place, and not go up back then. How ruthless is that?
That is pretty bad.
Odegaard's Castilla and Mariano's Castilla, they came top of the table, and they didn't go up. In fact, they were 20 minutes away from going up, and it was just, oh man, that was one of the biggest heartbreaks as a Castilla follower you could have.
Disgusting. So one of the questions was about like this, why are they going from almost promoting to being near relegation zone?
Well,
it's
I will
a short
tell
time.
You why. Who asked that?
It was Lemur on Discord, which
I
you can join.
Why? Because this team are not good enough to fight for promotion. Full stop. They are good enough to sit mid-table, and the issue is when you're mid-table is you can always get sucked down into the danger zone, or you can push yourself and try and go for the promotion places, and this squad don't have the quality to do that. So the danger is they're always, unfortunately, going to be in for a scrap in order to finish mid-table. Maybe they will finish mid-table, and again, that's a success for this team. 10th place is where we predicted them at the start of the season. They're currently in 13th, so it's, you know, it doesn't look the end of the world, but they are only 3 points away from the danger. It's tough, but the quality isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not the end of the world, but if they lose like two of their games and, you know, the other teams capitalize on it, we're looking at a very bad situation. Even for Raul, if he doesn't stay for another season, if he says, oh, I'm going to leave, he would leave at near relegation zone. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a good look anyway for him.
No, it would be a fail. I would say anything below 12th is a fail. I would say that is. And it's fine margins, because there's only a few points in it between each position. But mid-table is what this team is perfectly talented and capable of achieving. So anything below that is a failure.
Yeah, and they could have capitalized on it, because the teams that are above them, Algeciras and Intercity, they've won, just like Castilla, they've only won one of the last five games. So they could have capitalized on it. They just didn't do it. They just didn't have the firepower, or, you know, they didn't use the full resources they had. They didn't use Jeremy De Leon. They didn't use Zuniga. They just, you know, sitting down, just scoring 35 goals in 32 games, which is okay if you consider their position on the table. But then you think about, well, they've only scored 2 goals in the last 7 games, which is not okay.
Now, the thing with Zuniga is he should be scoring a goal every game. He's a professional footballer in a semi-professional league. But he did score against Rayo Vallecano's B team. And if any game is some sort of indicator that you could play higher, it is a game against the B teams in that league, because the best players of that league will be called up to the Liga at some point. You know, and the back-heel assist was quality as well. But he is consistently scoring. So it has to be said, he just needs to be put in at some point, because he was linked with Castilla about 3 years ago. So how all of a sudden has he ended up at the team below? It's just, until that's fixed, that's going to be in my head, I think.
It's so weird. There's a couple more questions. There's one question from Skip on Discord. It says, 4 points above relegation, 5 of the remaining 7 games we have are against teams above us on the table, as we said. How concerned should we be that this might actually happen?
Yeah, which is just... this is the question we answered. I'd be sweating a little bit if I was you, Skip. But I don't think it will happen. So there's a little, there's some words of encouragement for you, a little boost. But
not Castilla.
Where Castilla are, it's not a good place to be.
If Sam says something about Castilla, you should take it, you know, confidently, because he's been covering it for as long as I've been alive. I don't want to make it sound old or anything, but yeah, you're very experienced. So if you say something, you know, it's usually right. It's okay, bro. It's okay. another question from Skip. Putting this season behind us, have you heard any concrete rumors of players we might bring in for the next season? I know you had mentioned an English player potentially joining. The English player that was Callum Vickers, or
we don't need to Caleb say his name. Well, half Indian, actually, that lad. To be honest with you, that was a clear case of someone's agent, I should say, putting a name out and a club out to try and get a little bit of extra interest or a little bit of extra money. Reading were in big financial trouble. It would have made sense for Castillo's on him, to be honest. So maybe it would have been a made-up rumour that comes to fruition, because it does happen sometimes. But he went to Brighton. He moved to Brighton, who are a promising, you know, Premier League team. He scored a couple of goals for their 21s, I want to say. But we don't need to mention him ever again. It would have been a good signing. Not going to happen. I have, however, seen a rumour for... It's an attacking player in the Spanish second division. I think he's at Zaragoza or something like that. And they're the kind of players you want to sign, to be honest. So I don't know if this is an indicator. Again, it's just a media story. I don't know if it's an indicator that there will be a bit more investment coming in the summer. What I would love is, I really love the fact that Real Madrid signed a Puerto Rican in Jeremy De Leon. I'd love just a few more kind of international talents to come in to really help the team. That kind of Fede Valverde push, you know, a couple million spent. South American talent, whatever, European talent, doesn't matter. Just something to make it a little bit more exciting and boost the performance of the team as well and the hype around it. But I haven't heard much other than that one second division player. So we will see.
Yeah, it's not a lot to go by, because I don't know, because they were so close to promotion and they just gave up.
And the investment hasn't been there at all. Yeah. To be honest, it's not surprising that they are struggling, because this was the first time on record that they signed nobody until January from another team. They didn't give Raul any help whatsoever. It was all young teams. The most experienced players were the ones that played last season. That is crazy to me. And then obviously Peter left in January, and it was a like-for-like swap with Jeremy De Leon, but crikey. I mean, the guys had no help, and people are just hammering him. It's on the back burners. Real Madrid do not care about Castilla at this moment in time. I'm sure it'll switch around at some point, but for now, it isn't important to Real Madrid and their objectives.
Yeah, there's not much anyone can do. I'm not blaming Raul for, you know, not being very, very good as a coach for this team, because it's not really his fault, but I am blaming him for staying for too long.
At this point...
Because Arbeloa is a really talented coach. He's in the same vein as Raul now, because he's been around for a while. He's done well and he's not getting his opportunity because Raul just doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And just looking back on the reports, while it is not the most not the most reliable sources, from what I've seen, they're usually pretty bang on with Castilla stuff, so I think this might be okay. There's not a lot of reports on Castilla either way, but whatever they do report, the specific source, they are pretty decent with it. So yeah, I think it's okay. I think you still take it with a grain of salt, obviously. But yeah, if he stays, it's not looking good for anyone.
It's just one of them where it's just that feeling that we've had a couple of times with managers now, where you just go, oh, another season of this, another whatever. And it takes, with Solari, who I will bring up, is the worst, just worst coach full stop period that I've ever seen. Genuinely wouldn't let him take charge of a Sunday league team. He just had nothing about him. With Solari, motion to the first team to get rid of him. Think about how crazy that was. He wasn't going to go. He was not leaving. And every week it was this and that. With Raul, doesn't get to that point.
Yeah. I don't think it would, because he's a better coach than Solari. Like, there's no...
Yeah, exactly. He should be leaving. It's not like Solari, who should be fired and should never coach again and should go straight to an ambassador role because he's got nice hair. He's a good coach. He should be going to the top. What are you doing? Go to the top league. Earn some money, man.
Yeah, and to be fair to Solari, as bad of a coach as he was, he did have an eye for talent, didn't he? What do you think?
I think, yeah, that the only benefit, there's no legacy about Solari at all. In fact, his legacy stinks. But, as a coach, by the way, blimey, not as a player. But, when he got to the first team, to be fair, the transition for some of the younger players was there. It was apparent because he was in the academy. He was in Castilla. Yeah, absolutely. So it really did help some of the young players. Especially Vinicius in his early days. So, a couple of positives, but 100 negatives is not, not good.
Yeah, I'm not defending Solari in any case, but I think Reguilon, Valverde...
I won't say Reguilon, because I think... before him? Is my memory...
No, Reguilon was in the same season as Solari. I don't think he was playing before he came
way.
In.
So the fact that Reguilon was in the first team, because Reguilon was a very average Castilla player and talent, the fact that he made it into the first team and was given the opportunity in pre-season, I don't accept Solari... being massive for Reguilon and his development. I don't accept that. But other ones I do massively.
Okay. That's fair.
It's like, who's the left back now? It's literally just like Obrador.
He's like, so good, though.
If Ancelotti, he's brilliant. He was just as good as Reguilon, maybe even better for Castilla. It's literally like if he got into the first team and got a run of games. It's literally like that. And that's what Lopetegui, I'm going to say, asterisk there from my memory, did for him. And then, yeah, he didn't get into the squad much after that. But I wouldn't say... The fact that he was in the squad is incredible. Someone gave him a massive opportunity. I wouldn't say Solari pushed him on too much from there.
That's fair. I mean, when he was playing for Real Madrid, I think he was like one of my favorite players. Now he isn't because he played for Atletico.
Right. What was he doing?
Yeah. Last time he was playing out of his mind for Real Madrid. He was just fighting. You know, he was there on the pitch, just blood on his fucking. On his knees, just doing whatever that is needed for the club, and he was so good, and he loved it. Like, he genuinely, like, he was so good, and he was good, great at Sevilla as well, which was also
good. And this is something that has to be said: Luis Miquissada was a better left back at Castilla than Reguilon, and I saw him the other day score a good goal, but in the Dominican. So that's where both of them have gone. You know, one's in the Prem, one's in. To be fair, he's from Dominica, Dominican Republic. Sorry, but that's not a standard he should have been playing at.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Incredible. Right, have we covered everything?
I think we have. Yeah. Now we just look up to the next game, which is against Alcoyano on the 20th of April, 7 p.m. kickoff. Will you be watching?
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm hopefully going to be there. It's difficult to get the number of media passes you want, but there are other ways of getting tickets as well. So hopefully I will be there live, and that will be a really good one to watch. And then we can come back and have a better perspective of things.
Yeah, just record from Valdebebas, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the only way you can watch games these days.
Yeah.
Funny. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for all of your questions. Thanks for hosting as well. We've actually got through it. The 4G worked.
Yeah, it did.
That's my monthly allowance done, though, in 1 hour.
Yeah, this was a good episode. I think, like, we have to try to get the others in, but it's just not working at the moment.
I want to do, talking about Regular and talking about Quesada and all these players, I want to do this pod. I want to do this group pod, and Chris is down for it. Just got to get Ruben in, and then we're in for a quadruple.
Oh, we're pressurizing Ruben now. Oh, we're not.
Yeah, we will. Put the pressure on.
Yeah, just add him to the call like we did, Chris.
Love it. Okay, then. All right. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid. Sports Social Podcast Network.